You're listening to a podcast from the Cinema Geekly Podcast Network. We're the geeks you deserve and the ones you need right now.
Welcome to The Heat, Cinema Geekly's fortnightly pro wrestling podcast. It's Anthony and Jacqueline, and we are back to try to string together a podcast for everybody. There's not a whole ton of stuff to talk about because both Jacqueline and I sort of skipped over Crown Jewel. I am aware that it happened, but
can we talk about one thing about it, though?
Oh, sure. I don't know anything about it.
One thing. And it's not even like anything bad. Anyway.
Okay.
They have to keep the belts in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, the ones that they win. Okay.
Yeah, like the champion. So like, so now it's even more stupid.
Awesome.
Like, what's the point of having belts that you can't take with you?
And they spent, didn't they spend like a gajillion dollars on those belts too? Like,
I am.
They're full
sure
of diamonds and.
Maybe some emeralds or something because there's green. I don't know. But yeah, they do not look like they are cheap belts.
You get
but
the
yeah,
whole,
they have to stay there.
Maybe they don't want to risk it being stolen. Maybe the Saudi government paid for those belts too.
I would assume at that point if they have to stay there.
I honestly wouldn't be shocked. Anything with those shows. Well, I guess we'll sort of stick with WWE for a minute because I don't have a ton to talk about because we're sort of in this in between. We're heading towards Survivor Series. I guess there are two big sort of stories happening. There is they are setting up for clearly a Bloodline versus Bloodline 2.0. Except Bloodline 2.0 does not have Nickelodeon colors like the NXT rebranding did, unfortunately. But it does look like they are setting up for a Survivor Series match there. And it looks like they have reunited the original Bloodline, complete with Samuel Zane.
I am really excited about that.
So. Yeah, me too. The only thing, it undeniably is getting like really great reaction. And Sami Zayn is... again, continually showing why he probably should be a top guy for them at some point, like a world champion. He draws in people emotionally, and he is so good at it.
Oh, he gets such a reaction every time.
The only qualm I have with this is...
the brand split?
No. It's, it's really, really, it's the whole... like Roman Reigns was like the supervillain of all supervillains. This is like Thanos showing up and being like, "Hey guys, I know the whole finger snap thing, but like Tony Stark, Captain America, like I need you guys on my team. Like I mean, can you forget about all the bad things I did?" And like I'm not saying it's impossible for somebody to be forgiven, but like considering everything that happened and this storyline's been going on for like what feels like a decade at this point.
Yeah.
They forgave him like pretty quickly.
Way too quickly. The enemy of the enemy is my friend.
And look, if we're being honest, no shade to the, I was going to say no shade to the Bloodline 2.0 guys, but I guess this is pretty shady. The only one they even have to really worry about is Jacob Fatu too. The rest of the guys like Tangaloa, you're gonna worry about that guy in Solo? Like, give me a break. This is like these, you know, they're trying. I know they've had Solo pin Roman and stuff like that. So,
well, and two, because I think they do war games at Survivor Series.
Yep.
And sometimes they do, I thought, don't they traditionally do 5-on-5?
I think so. I mean,
so we may not have seen who the fifth guy is yet.
That's true. There are there's four guys on both teams, so maybe they'll just stick to 4v4.
Maybe. I don't know. Because there's other family members out there.
So oh, there's a bunch knows? More, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
we might see more.
Maybe Paul Heyman gets in the ring.
Poor Pearl Heyman. Where has he been?
You know he's going to come back at some point. Probably at the pay-per-view is my guess.
I'm assuming. Maybe he will come out with Roman Reigns.
Yeah, it'll be a big reaction, oh, I'm sure.
Can I go completely off for a minute and sure. like pull back into the archives? I don't know if you've ever seen this one video. You probably have because it's amazing. But there was this wedding and the groom and all of his like his best man and his groomsmen came in and did like the Roman Reigns entrance back
ooh, when
he was
not,
in charge of the bloodline.
I've not seen
oh
this.
Oh my God, it is amazing. And I think about it because they do have someone who plays like the Paul Heyman character
that
holds
funny.
Up a belt as they're all walking into the wedding. It's very great.
That's
I don't
really
know
funny.
Whose wedding that is, but I highly recommend a watch.
Did,
it makes me smile.
Did they take like 5 minutes to walk in? Because like that's...
Oh, they did. And there were maybe
okay,
three
good.
People... Three guests in the crowd mm-hmm. who knew what was going on, and you see them standing up with their one finger pointing to the sky. Like, it is truly, like, it is a must-see.
Everyone else is like, yeah, this is Peyton's thing. He's
yeah,
really, he's really into this wrestling stuff, whatever
yeah.
it is. Whatever makes him happy, I guess. His, like,
at least he's getting married.
His grandpa sitting there just like, whatever makes him happy, whatever the kids like, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what I think of, though, when we talk about Paul Heyman now. Is like
so they did, and they also, the other big thing they're doing is this, like, Kevin Owens turning on Cody Rhodes thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think because, like, he broke bread with Roman Reigns, and Kevin Owens is, like, the only
yeah.
smart guy in the company. He's like, how could you do this? Did you forget everything that happened? Also, fun fact, on the internet, I saw somebody share a picture of the reunited bloodline with Sami Zayn in it, and somebody just says, you see this at Kevin Owens? Like, you can't keep stirring up stuff between those two. They have such a long history. But
leave Sami alone.
But, like, Randy Orton is getting involved in this thing with Kevin Owens, and they did this big, oh my God, angle where... Kevin Owens gives Randy Orton a pile driver, which
does not happen.
Which, yeah. I mean, like, so to us, to, like, you and me, that's not super shocking. Like, we see pile drivers right. all the time because we watch AEW and, like, I've been watching, like, WWE, WWF did pile drivers all the time into the 2000s, like, into the early 2000s when they
right.
officially banned it. But, like, nobody else banned it, like, TNA and
right.
Japan and Mexico. Like, I was in the indies, I was seeing it all the time. So, it always felt weird to me that WWE banned it. But, like, in WWE lore, this is like, oh, my God, you hit this move. And, like,
right.
someone could die from this move. And, you have to, if you watch a lot of wrestling, you have to kind of suspend your disbelief because you're like, I just saw, like, in the last month, I've seen, like, 15 pile drivers and, like, it ended some matches, but, like, nobody died or anything.
Look, I saw a Tiger Driver 91 or whatever that movie
I know.
Is, and that really should kill somebody.
Yeah, like, Nick Wayne is out here doing a double underhook, like, butterflying the arms and doing a Canadian Destroyer.
Yeah, I'm, like, what is happening? So, yeah.
They do, like, the, you know, they stretcher him out. They said he's got this, like, neck injury thing from it. And
yeah, so here's my question. Is mm-hmm. he actually just hurt and they needed to give a reason why he's not going to be on TV again?
They do that sometimes. So maybe that's what's happening. But this, they shouldn't have done it with this. They shouldn't. If that's the case, they shouldn't have done it with this particular angle. For one reason, it didn't look it didn't look good.
It didn't? Oh.
No. So a pile driver, like a really good pile driver, can be done completely safe, but look really dangerous. And we see them all of the time. And the key, of course, to the pile driver is keeping the head at a certain height so that mm-hmm. when the person sits out and, like, kicks their feet out and lands on their butt, like, there's this impact that makes it look like they land on their head, but all of the impact is on the person giving the move, and the person
right.
taking the move might, depending on the person delivering it, like, might have, like, a tiny little head touch on the mat, maybe not even touch it
mm-hmm.
at all. Sometimes there is contact, not saying, because it is a dangerous move, but when it's done right, and it's frequently done right, it looks really great. Kevin Owens did the, and Kevin Owens actually was very famous for doing the package pile driver. Like that was his move for like a long time, that like Penta El Zero would do, like the hooking the arms and hooking the legs and picking them up and giving him a pile driver. Like that was Kevin Owens' move on the indies for ages and ages, but he has not done a pile driver since going to WWE. Because they don't do them there. And I don't know if it was that. I don't know if he was trying to protect Randy, which, you know, is not a bad thing. But basically what happened is Kevin's feet and his butt, like, landed. And Randy's head, like, didn't come close to anything. He kind of just kicked his legs up. Kevin landed and he just sort of rolled over Kevin, which didn't look good. And I can't buy an injury angle when the guy when the guy wasn't actually hit with a move. It's sort of like that time AEW during the pandemic wanted to do the exploding ring barbed wire death match thing, and at the end of the this timer is supposed to go off and there's supposed to be this massive explosion, and there was not a massive explosion. It was a tiny little explosion with some sparklers because there was a pyrotechnics issue, and people had to be like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
When it's like,
that was before I started watching AEW. So
it's a classic blunder.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like I felt so bad for them because it's like, this is the big moment of the show and it doesn't go off. And this is sort of the same thing here. I mean, Michael Cole, like they sold it like crazy, like it happened. But like I watched it with my two eyes and it's like, you know, maybe he hurt his back, like rolling over on Kevin's chest. But like he didn't get pile driven. It was anyway, that's a mini rant of not real importance.
Yeah.
Let's swing over.
I clearly didn't see it.
Yeah. Let's swing over to AEW. We are building our way.
Like George of the Jungle. There or something. Tarzan.
Like Jungle Boy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Jungle Boy Jack Perry. Rest in peace. We're going to swing on over there as they're building towards Full Gear right now.
Yes.
And on paper, I feel like this is going to be good. I don't know. This feels a lot like, honestly, this feels a lot like Wrestle Dream. Where when I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, there's like one absolutely for sure going to be like a really good match on here. But then like, I'm not sure about some of the other stuff. But then like Wrestle Dream turned out to be a great show. And there's some stuff that hasn't been booked yet, but it's clear we're heading in that direction. So they're going with this Moxley versus Orange Cassidy match on top for the world title. They're kind of doing this character arc with Orange Cassidy where he's becoming a more serious wrestler because the AEW locker room is in danger because of the former Blackpool Combat Club now calling themselves the Death Riders. And I mean, it makes sense. And like, I know they're going to have a good match because they've had good matches in the past, but this just feels not super hype to me as a main event world title match on a pay-per-view. Like, I don't know
how everything's been so chaotic.
Yeah. And I guess I don't know how I feel about this storyline. Cause right now it feels like the Death Riders are going through and just picking on like the small kind of mid card groups, you know, like they're not, they're not interacting with like, and granted these people have their other storylines going on, but they're not interacting with your Adam Coles, your Will Ospreys, like those, you know, like Jay White, they're not interacting with Swerve. They're not interacting with those characters and they've all got their own things going on, but
they do. So
it doesn't, I don't know. Like it just feels, feels like an, like to me that I look at that and I'm like, that feels like it would be a great Dynamite main event. Like if you're building to like a big Dynamite episode.
I do like the transition of Orange Cassidy's wardrobe.
Oh yeah, where he's wearing like black stuff now.
Yeah, so he's super serious.
Yeah, he's
take him seriously.
I forget that country singer's name. He's he's Johnny Cash. Yeah, he's the man in black.
So I think it'll be good. I'm kind of excited for it.
We've got another Hangman Page Jay White match, which is going to be a great match. Their feud is okay.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mind the feud so much. The match is
going to
be great.
Well, their matches are so good, so I don't care. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be excellent. Mercedes Moné, Chris Statlander for the TBS Championship. I don't know how I feel about it, honestly. I'm at a weird point with
Mercedes.
With Mercedes. So yeah, I liked the build that they did. I mean, obviously the Statlander thing too with her turning babyface felt weird and jarring. But they did this thing where she went through Camille and Mercedes was like, "Ah, Camille, you suck. Like if we got to get it done right, I got to do it myself." So they're doing that and they're trying to build to this match. I think part of the problem for me with Mercedes is she is not delivered in a lot of matches, which is kind of crazy for me because she's really good, but maybe the injury, like maybe she lost
her a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe she lost something with that last injury. She had a really good match against Willow, like on her debut, mm-hmm. and she had a good match with Stephanie Vaquer, but, everything else has been kind of just okay to like, what?
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. I like Chris Statlander though. So I feel like this will be,
I mean, Chris is like really good and super talented and is a really great base for other women who can do like more flying stuff, and Mercedes can do some lucha stuff. I feel like they could have good chemistry together. So I am hoping that this is going to be good. I guess
you're cautiously optimistic.
Cautiously optimistic about that going into it.
Take that.
What else do we have here? We have, this is like this is the big, news storyline that's been introduced recently. So we have Swerve versus Bob Lashley of the Syndication of Hurt.
I am actually excited. So I thought Swerve and Shelton Benjamin had a fantastic match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had a good match.
I really enjoyed it. And so I liked Bobby Lashley, so I'm really excited for this one.
Okay, so yeah, I don't know how I feel about Bobby Lashley. I'm very hot and cold on him, but I'm willing to see. And I saw this video of him on TikTok where like he goes out and tries like local burger joints. And it's just a thing does. And he seems so much fun going to these like burger joints and like talking to the people who own it, like mom and pop shops or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like, you know, trying their food and like rating it and stuff. So like that's been a ton of fun. I'm like, please, can we somehow transfer that kind of fun energy into the wrestling matches you have, please? But maybe outside of a WWE playbook, maybe we'll get a little bit more of him in there. And Swerve has turned into just a great big match performer. And I feel like this has the potential to be good.
Yeah, he can hold it down for sure. I also am really liking the whole, as AEW in general, I'm really enjoying the whole thing they're doing with the Hurt Syndicate backstage with MVP going up to everybody with cards and things.
Like, yeah, they're teasing a breakup with the Acclaimed.
Yeah.
Bowen's got rid of his card, but Max hasn't gotten rid of his card yet.
Yep. Yep. So I think like there's some interesting things that they're weaving in.
Ricochet got a card. I'm trying to think.
I feel like there was another
Leo Rush or
Leo Rush Private Party. Right. Didn't they try?
I think so. Yeah.
Early on. So it's been a really interesting kind of weave, I feel like, because like, they're not in all the storylines, but they're like operating in the background. So I enjoy it. So
speaking of Private Party, they're going to be defending the tag titles in a 4-way match against the winners of a contender series. One of the matches was already won by the Outrunners.
Which, wild.
So they're going to be on a pay-per-view. my oldest daughter couldn't be more excited about this.
Really?
Yeah, because...
Magnum and Turbo Floyd.
I mean, honestly, I think that it's just the names that... Like, when I told... Yeah. She's like, who are these guys? And I'm like, well, that's Turbo Floyd. And she's like, excuse me, what?
Yeah, I need you to say that one more time.
I'm like, yeah, his name is Turbo Floyd. And then she just cracked up. And she's been a fan of her since.
Ridiculous. So, and the pop that they get.
They get a reaction.
What is happening?
Yeah, it's crazy.
In the year 2024.
One of the other teams is going to be the winner of FTR versus House of Black, which I'm sure will be a good match.
I'm excited about that one.
Honestly, I put House of Black in here. FTR always ends up in these spots. So yeah. why not that throw like Malachi and Buddy or Buddy and Brody in there or something?
Honestly, Brody in there against like the Outrunners, I think would be really fun.
And then you got La Faction, Ingo Bernable against the Acclaimed.
I want LFI to win.
Yeah, put LFI in there. Like they're teasing the breakup with the Acclaimed. The breakup doesn't have to happen in that match, but like it can be a furtherance of it. Now, like what team do they do? I feel like they would do Drillistico and Rouge, but like maybe do Rouge and Mortos.
That's what I think they said.
Is it?
The two of them.
Okay. Yeah. That's a fun team.
Yeah.
I'm here for
that. I think Private Party retains, but...
No, oh, me too. Yeah, for sure.
I'm really excited that they won.
Got Daniel Garcia and Jack Perry for the TNT title. There's just something about the Jack Perry character that isn't clicking for me, and I'm kind of hoping maybe they just put the title on Daniel Garcia.
Well, so I am thinking they might, because storyline-wise, the Bucks packed up and left.
After
they lost the tag titles. So I think we're going to see them all kind of fall one by one kind of a thing for a little bit. Yeah.
And I know that people are like wondering about Okada, but I think they've done a video package with Okada that's basically like he's heading into the Continental Classic, like as the defending champion. So he's going to be in the tournament this year, which makes perfect sense. I hope they really load that up, because that was such a fun tournament last year.
They could put a lot of people in there.
AEW's version of the G1. Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
So matches that haven't been announced, but are likely. We've got MJF versus Adam Cole and maybe Roderick Strong.
Yep.
I don't know about you, Jacqueline. Because obviously we know the MJF play by now. If you really want MJF bad enough, he's going to make you jump through a bunch of hoops, and then you eventually jump through a bunch of hoops, and he can't believe that you jumped through all the hoops, and then he has to wrestle you. But this time, Roddy is thrown into the mix as well and could possibly jump through the hoops. I don't know if you're feeling what I'm feeling here, but I'm thinking like there's gotta be some, maybe Roddy does make it in, because like the whole idea is it'll be a three-way, but really it'll be 2-on-1 against you, Max.
Right.
And then there's like the twist reveal that MJF has the Kingdom in his pocket. Yeah. He's got like Bennett and Taven and Roddy, and like they beat up on Adam Cole. Maybe because like Cole promised like the Undisputed Kingdom was going to be this whole thing, and then he just like left. Yeah, and he just like left though, and like was never there for them, you know, and it could further the feud. Like I can see it happening in that way. They haven't announced. It feels like they're moving towards Ricochet and Takeshita for the international title, but they haven't announced it yet.
That should be really fun.
That should be really fun. And I don't know if they're setting up for this for the pay-per-view or for some time later, but Mina Shirakawa is going to be back. And it seems like they're going to be heading towards Mariah May and Mina.
Mariah May.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which Mariah May, I feel like her matches are always really good.
Yeah.
It's
just the builds to them just don't feel special.
No, but once the match happens, I don't even care.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like we're in a holding pattern waiting for Toni Storm to come back.
In Japan.
Yeah, and in Mexico.
Oh, Mexico too.
Yeah.
And so here's the question. Where is Britt Baker again?
So I don't know what happened, but she's going to be on TV this week.
Oh, she is.
They announced that she's going to have a match with Penelope Ford, who
who
recently came back as well. Mm-hmm. Although she may have been brand new for you, she may have already been gone.
No,
by the time
I
you
remember
started.
Penelope Ford.
Oh, did you? Okay, okay,
yeah,
good.
Because I remember her. I saw the street fight with her and the Bunny versus Anna Jay.
Yeah, and Ty Conti. Yeah,
Ty Conti. That which was like a fantastic match. So mm-hmm.
She missed 2 years.
Yeah, I feel bad for her though. They had a big up and down.
Her story is really sad. I think her and Kip Sabian tried to have a baby like a couple of times, and I think it didn't work either time.
Yeah.
I think she had miscarriages, and I feel really terrible for her. She, in her favor, she came back and had her return match against Jamie Hayter. She didn't win, but like she looked like she didn't miss any ring time, which is nuts for being off for 2 years.
Yeah.
She looked really good. So maybe her and Britt will be good.
A good match, well. Yeah. And I even like what they're doing with Kip Sabian now, with the patriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Him being like another member while Luchasaurus is out injured.
Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully he recovers really well too. I know he was like really sick. I don't remember what it was that he had. But it was something really bad.
Kip Sabian, really?
No, kill switch. Like he had some sort of, he isn't like hurt. He had like an illness. Oh. I don't know if he had like, I don't know if like a lung collapsed or something.
Geez.
It was something really scary.
Terrifying.
But I think he's recovering.
Good for him.
We didn't even talk about the real main event of the show, Jacqueline, which is, of course, QT Marshall versus Big Boom and AJ from the TikTok application.
I don't know who that is. I'm going to show my age here.
Yeah, I think on TikTok, people know them as like, they know him as like the Costco guy. Like him
and
his
go to Costco.
Him and his guy. They would rate the food at Costco. And like
they would try it.
Yeah, like, they'd eat the Costco food, like the stuff that you can buy, like Costco's pizza and like Costco's big hot dog, like the hot food you can buy from Costco.
Oh, gotcha.
And they'd rate it with like I could be completely wrong on this. They would rate it with like booms, like you know, and they'd yell boom really loudly. But it's like this guy, this big jacked up guy, and like his son. His son is AJ, and I believe they have an even smaller kid that the internet calls the Rizzler.
Lord.
We're feeling really old here. But
I'm not young enough for any of this.
But they have a really large following. They're big enough that they're on like the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
Oh wow.
And as it happens, Big Boom, the dad here, used to be an indie wrestler. So he knows QT. And he wanted to have a match, so they're gonna do a match on the Zero Hour for the show.
I am looking at him now, and he definitely looks like a Jersey guy.
He's definitely a Jersey guy.
So I'm like, I haven't even heard his voice, and I just know it by his face. So I'm like, well, that makes sense.
You can hear him.
I could tell.
You can hear him from here.
I can. Yes, I have a sixth sense about who's from Jersey. It's one of my superpowers.
Yeah. That's so awesome. I'm trying to see if we've got anything else that's like big and like there's depressing stuff, like Vince McMahon's trying to start a new media company.
Stop it.
Did you hear about that?
I did.
I mean, look. Like, that's just, Vince is just going to Vince. This has been Vince his whole life.
Vince is going to Vince.
He wants recognition. He wants to be mainstream. Like, he wants to be Kevin Feige or, like, David Zasloff. Or he doesn't want to be known as the wrestling guy. Like, this has been Vince's whole life. So I'm not shocked by that. I'm not shocked by this move. But, like, it is hilarious that in his current state, in this time, he is trying to actually do this. WWE also announced... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know what? If this is fine, try it. I hope he fails miserably.
Yeah. WWE announced their Recruit ID program. I don't know if you saw this.
Oh, yeah, where they're taking from the indies again?
Yeah, so they're... But they're not like signees to They're kind of.
Oh.
They're signed to the program, but they're not contracted. Geez. They're not contracted WWE wrestlers. They're like prospects. One of them, I'm shocked that they that AEW did not make the offer, but one of them is Jack Cartwheel. I don't know if you've seen or remember Jack Cartwheel in AEW, but he's the guy who would do a lot of cartwheels in his matches.
I mean, that makes sense.
And like, he's a young,
pretty on the nose.
He's a young, really good looking dude who is hyper athletic. And he's only ever in kind of like enhancement matches or jobber matches or whatever. But every time he was in a match, he would get over. People loved the cartwheel thing. Like,
yeah,
he would cartwheel out of everything. He had he'd cartwheel into moves. He just people loved it, and it looked fun and cool. I'm shocked AEW didn't try to make a take a shot at it. They signed him to one of these ID contracts. So what it sounds, and they're partnering with wrestling schools as well to kind of develop people for their ID program. This is outside of the developing in NXT. So
it sounds like too much work.
So one of the interesting factoids about this that came out is because people obviously started asking questions like, how is this going to affect the indie scene? Like, can these people can they take any booking they want? Like, are they allowed to lose matches? Like, they're tied to WWE. And WWE is like, they can just go about their business as normal. They can work anywhere they want. We don't care if they win or lose or any of that stuff. And somebody was like, does this include if they want to go do AEW work? Like, you know, like not
sign Ring of Honor.
Like not sign a contract, but do like one off matches. And they're like, yep, they want to do that. They can do that. And then they're like, OK, what if AEW offers them a contract? And that's when a piece of interesting piece of information came out. So if they go to Jack Cartwheel and they're like, we love your cartwheels, do you want to sign with us? Yeah. And which is, I presume, how the contract negotiation process goes. Dear Jack, big fan of your cartwheels. Would you like to sign with AEW? Love, Tony Khan.
Yep. Much. I'm sure it's love.
Sign here. If yet, wait. Check what, yes if, or no.
Yes or no. Yeah.
They said if that situation arises, WWE has the right of first refusal. And if they refuse, then WWE has to sign them to a contract or let them out of the ID contract. So if AEW offers Jack Cartwheel a contract, they have to either be like, you can sign with AEW, or they can be like, no, you can't sign with AEW. And we
and
are
here's
going
your
to
contract.
Yeah, we will sign you, which to me is like, Tony Khan should just start offering all these people contracts just to force WWE to sign them or not.
To pay everybody.
Yeah. Hey, you're doing them a favor. But that's a really, like, I don't know how I feel about this just yet because.
We'll see how it works in action, I feel like.
Yeah. On the surface, it doesn't seem so bad. But, like, WWE is well known for its nefarious purposes when it, you know, like, oh man, this UK indie scene seems really hip and cool. We should really get in on that. And then that turns into, we're going to take all of the top talent from the indies and we're going to make our own NXT UK thing. And then all of the UK indies shrivel up and die. And so I don't know how hyped I am. I don't know how hyped I am for this.
I guess we'll soon see.
It is a thing that happens. And lastly, although I probably should have put this in earlier, you know how WWE fans like to cry cinema when they do like a Cody Rhodes meets Roman Reigns on a football field and
it's
shot like a movie or whatever, and it feels like it's completely something out of wrestling. I will say, while it is not my style, every now and again, something like this will happen, and I kind of dig it. And I don't know if you saw I don't know if you saw Collision yesterday.
I did. I actually did. So hold on. I think I know. Go ahead.
The Julia Hart video.
Yes, that was so good.
Announcing she's going to come back, where it's like her in her old cheerleader outfit from when she first started. And she's like cheering for like the House of Black on the field, and like in the stands is like dark, House of Black Julia, but like her face is covered, but like she's there in the stands. And like when she finishes her cheer, she's like, did I make the team? Which was like such a great line. And then like,
it was really well done.
And then like House of Black Julia pulls out a bow and arrow and like shoots her in the heart.
She's killing her old self.
And she like falls down on the ground bleeding, and they like cut between like her laying on the ground and like the footage from like her entrance video of her like being goth Ghoulia Heart. And and then she like wakes up all of a sudden from a dream. And I was like, that is that's great. Like if you're gonna do like stuff like that, I thought that was well done.
It was a very well done video. Yeah. I did enjoy that one.
Plus, I do Plus, I do like Julia, and I miss her awesome theme music. So, I'll be happy when she returns. That's good news. That's cool stuff. Anyway, do we have any other good news or cool things to talk about? Mm-hmm. If not, we should shuffle along.
I think we covered them.
We did. I'm sure there's a lot of WWE stuff we missed, but like.
Probably.
I really steer clear of Crown Jewel season.
It's same.
So I'll be paying a little more attention now that we are
Survivor Series
coming out of that. Yeah, and we'll see what Survivor Series has in store for everybody. But I didn't actually look to see when Full Gear is. Will that be happening?
The 23rd.
The 23rd. Will we be? We may have. By the next time we podcast, Full Gear will have occurred. So we'll talk about what happened on that show then, I suppose, or we'll try to anyway.
Well, yeah,
we'll give it our college best.
The old college try.
All right, so until then, everybody, head on over to cinemageekly.com where you can check out the archives of the show. And of course, this is a listener-supported podcast, and there are some ways you can help out there. We have our Patreon, patreon.com/cinemageekly, and our merch store, geeklymerch.com. Links for both of those are in the show notes for this episode. And of course, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Casts, Audible, anywhere you can find a good podcast. Just search for The Heat, hit subscribe, and that way you can join us in another fortnight where we will try, we'll give it the old college try to talk about AEW Full Gear.